This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. The House State Affairs Committee will come to order. I'd like to welcome all internet listeners and those in the room. A reminder to turn off your cell phones or put them to silent mode. And at this time, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Beal.
Here.
Chapey.
Here.
Goodwin.
Here.
Gosh.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Letzmeister.
Here.
Reimer.
Did she say?
Who?
Okay.
We didn't hear you.
Here. Sorry, I didn't even hear.
Smith.
I'm sorry, here.
Smith. Okay. Weezy.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'd ask for a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Hansen, seconded by Beal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. To remind testifiers to sign in, ensure your lobbyists are wearing your badges. If you have any handouts, we're doing most of that electronically, but if you do, we will do those through the pages. And then if we have a couple pages here, if they'd like to come and introduce themselves, tell us where they're from and what their plans are.
My name is Sierra Nelson, and I'm from Wagner in Lake Andes. I plan on attending the University of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Thanks.
My name is Caroline Hoskins. I'm a senior at Garrettson High School, and next year I plan on going to Augustana University.
Very good. Okay, a couple of housekeeping items before we get rolling here today. If you didn't know, House Bill 1105 was withdrawn yesterday, so we will not be taking that. And HCR 6001 has a pretty substantial amendment that was just posted, so we are going to defer action on that until later time. Otherwise, we will take the other two bills left all in order. So we'll have House Bill 1111, revised certain provisions regarding inspections and seizures by and forfeitures involving the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. We'll be open for proponent testimony. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alan Cambon. I'm a policy advisor in the governor's office. I'm here today to ask for your support on House Bill 1111. The legislation before you is very simply a codification of current game, fish, and parks policy. Governor Noem has asked for your support to protect life and to strengthen families this session. With the passage of House Bill 1111, you would also be enhancing South Dakotans' property rights. Under current law, the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks has the authority to seize and dispose of guns, boats, your truck, or even your dog when enforcing game and fish laws. Were it not for current policy, under the leadership of Governor Noem and Interim Secretary Roebling, this forfeiture could happen without going through a court proceeding. We believe codes should reflect current practice, regardless of who the governor is or who the Game, Fish, and Parks Secretary is. House Bill 1111 would clean up Chapter 41, Section 15 in Code, and enshrine the protections currently afforded South Dakotans, thanks to Governor Noem and Secretary Roebling. These due process protections would be a much more appropriate punishment for the crime. I think everyone here would agree that you shouldn't forever forfeit your dog or your gun because you have too many fish or too many birds in your possession. I ask for your favorable vote on HB 1111, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you. Thank you. For the proponents for House Bill 1111.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Kevin Roebling here, Interim Secretary with the Game, Fish, and Parks. So currently, the department does have the authority to dispose of boats, guns, vehicles, and dogs, for that matter, in the unlawful taking of game without going through a court forfeiture action. You know, this bill would require the department to seek forfeiture action through court order before personal property could be disposed. This bill would place in statute what the department has already been doing as practice for many years. We don't do this forfeiture action. We do this through court order. While the department has very rarely exercised the ability to dispose of these items, it is prudent that codified law reflects the department's respect for property and its current practices. So what exactly does this bill do? It removes the department's authority to unilaterally forfeit boats, guns, vehicles, and dogs. It establishes a clearly defined process that requires the court to determine if property is ultimately being used illegally, while still allowing law enforcement to seize property for evidentiary purposes. It eliminates the perception of law enforcement agencies seizing property for profit. It eliminates some antiquated laws that allow for the seizure of someone's pet. That is something we strictly do not want to do. In summary, officers will still have the ability to seize items as evidence to aid in the prosecution of a violation. Those items will be returned to the rightful owner unless a court order is implemented. Really, what this comes down to is due process requirements create greater trust and confidence in the department and its officers. And for those reasons, we urge your support for House Bill 1111. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roebling. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1111.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Doug Abraham. I'm an attorney from Pierre and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Landowner Outfitter Alliance. Our members are primarily big game outfitters, but we do have some pheasant preserves, and we also represent a number of landowners who have under lease or ownership in excess of 2 million acres in South Dakota. We applaud the governor's office and Game Fish and Parks in bringing this bill. We think it really comes down to two primary issues here. It comes down to proportionality and due process. This doesn't necessarily change what you can lose here, but it changes the process by which you could potentially lose something if you're breaking the law. Currently, the department can simply give a hypothetical here. You're down illegally participating in a prairie elk hunt. You shoot a prairie cow elk loaded up in your $60,000 boat and transport it out to, you know, wherever you put in. In theory, under current law, the department could then forfeit your boat if you're caught without due process, without any proportionality finding by a court, and you're just simply out. Now, we think that that's not the correct due process mechanism for this to occur. Now, are you guilty? Absolutely. You're guilty of a violation if you don't have the proper tag in that situation. Should you be fined? Absolutely. Does the department and the court have authority to order restitution for the value of the animal? Absolutely, they do. But should the department be able to, as it could under current law, automatically forfeit your boat, firearm, potentially your dog if it's with you at that time? We don't think so. We don't think that strikes a fair balance. So all this really does is it says we're going to change the law so that there's proportionality and that a judge is going to authorize any restitution or forfeiture, and that you're going to have the opportunity to present evidence at the sentencing hearing that would allow you to say, look, this isn't proportional. We have a value of an animal. The court can fix the value of the animal. They can fix an appropriate restitution. They can fix the appropriate criminal fine and jail sentence if necessary. But that shouldn't happen unilaterally without that due process hearing. And that's all this bill would do. It would allow for due process before the state, through its agencies, can take your property. And we think that's a good bill, and that's exactly what's intended. It's frankly the practice in most places anyways, but this is just a good bill that provides due process protections, so we'd encourage your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abraham. Any further proponent discussion on House Bill 1111? Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'd move on to opponents for House Bill 1111.
Good morning, Mr. Good morning. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Lepisto, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. And on the face of it, we agree with what's in the bill, with the exception of removing this, we feel, removes the deterrent that's needed for our fish and game laws in South Dakota. As been stated by the proponents, this isn't and has not been used on a regular basis for good reason. But when the exception is needed, we feel that this needs to be in place as a deterrent to for somebody that says, well, what's the fine? I can pay that. If there isn't a heavier hand of the law, as is currently allowed, somebody's going to go the extra mile and do things that are going to harm our resources. And with that, we urge you to defeat 1111. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lepisto. Any further opponent testimony on House Bill 1111? Seeing none, we'd open up for rebuttal.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kevin Roblin here, Interim Department Secretary for the Game, Fish, and Parks. You know, the deterrent really is still there. I mean, any egregious fine that judge deems egregious and severe enough, they will order a court forfeiture for that matter, and they likely would seize the property at that time, but through a court order, again, that due process. And that is all we are asking for as a department, to put that due process in place to, again, instill more trust and confidence in the department and our officers. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd open up for any questions of the committee. Any questions from the committee? Representative Lesmeister.
For the secretary, please. Thank you. So by taking this deterrent, as we heard, away, are you going to elevate the fines or penalties on the backside to offset a deterrent then?
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
Representative Lesmeister, those fines and penalties are in the bond schedule, and they are already defined. We have no intentions to increase those current fines and penalties at this time. Depending on the crime, you know, that judge has the abilities to sentence accordingly with the tools that they have in front of them on the bond schedule and whatever the crime is. So, you know, if we have, let's say, somebody poach 30 deer, I could see a definite court order in those cases where they are going to take their personal property in a sense. And we've seen that in the past on those high-profile crimes that are egregious. And The tools there are available for the judge to do those sorts of things.
Follow it, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So just walk me through a process now then, if this bill goes into effect, this law, if somebody was to even poach one or two deer or 30 or however, what would the process become to seize somebody's property then, and how long would that take?
Go ahead.
Through the chair. Representative Lesmeister, so when our officers come across a crime such as that, let's say a deer is poached, they will likely seize a gun, a spotlight, those sorts of things for evidence, a trail camera, you know, those sorts of things. The case will be heard, and then at that point, the judge will determine, do you get those things back, essentially? Do you get your gun back? Do you get your trail cameras back, depending on the crime? The fines will also, there's civil fines, there's criminal penalties and civil penalties. And we still see that process playing out. What this bill does, it just doesn't allow the department to say, we're taking your gun, we're taking your boat, we're taking your dog, we're taking your vehicle. We're letting the process work its way through until that is determined, essentially. That's what this bill does.
Just one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. So you're saying that they'll have due process, like in 24 hours, 48 hours, they'll be in front of a judge to hear this, so you guys can hold this property before that individual could leave the state, per se, if it's an out-of-state hunter?
Go ahead.
Through the chair. Representative Lesmeister, typically those things take a little longer than that. I mean, we will hold the property as evidence if that seizure is needed, and we'll hold that until the case is complete, is how that would usually work, yes.
Further questions? Representative Goodwin.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Secretary, for bringing this. I think it's a common sense bill, and it gives better relations with the hunters and the Game, Fish, and Parks, and we always need to work on that. What I'm kind of concerned about is not the huge violations, about the example of the elk where you shot it out of the boat. That must have been Deerfield Lake, because there's any elk anyplace else that you could have shot it out of the boat, but had to be in District 30. But anyway, I just worry about, like, most people that are sportsmen don't want to break the law. So when you go into these lakes fishing, you know, what's the slot limit, you know? And if you don't put in at a boat dock and look at the signs, it's just, you know, some states have the same slots statewide. It might not be manageable because there's different populations like walleyes in a lake. But if it would just be easier so that you wouldn't, I mean, I go fishing with my grandkids. The last thing I want to do is get arrested for, you know, one over or something like that. And I was going to say that I would substitute my ex-mother-in-law for my dog, but I can't say that here, so thank you.
Was there a question in there? Or
yeah, if you could. My question is, if you could just check on, if you could get it so easier so that everybody knows, like, especially when they're fishing, what can you do on that lake? Unless you go by a boat, one of your boat ramps, because there's other places to put in, it's really hard to know what each lake is.
Through the chair?
Yeah.
Excellent point, Representative Goodwin. And one of the major objectives and goals of the department is to reduce participation barriers and to simplify regulations. And those are exactly the things that we want to make sure our anglers, our hunters, when they read our book, it's very clear, and we don't overcomplicate things. We have a tendency to overcomplicate things. So we are definitely working on reducing those barriers and simplifying rules and regulations.
Thank you. Further questions? Seeing none, we will close public testimony and move on to committee discussion and or action. Representative Gosch.
Move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Representative Gosch, second by Representative Hansen. Do pass motion, House Bill 1111. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it was said by one of the previous speakers about the Game Fish and Parks working on relationships with hunters, landowners, and basically just the state of South Dakota. I think this is an amazing bill towards the right move, and I would like to see us pass this and would even volunteer to carry it on the floor, Mr. Chair.
All right. Further comments on the motion? Representative Jensen.
I really want to commend the governor and the department for this. This is probably one of the best common sense moves I've seen in a long time. Thank you.
Further comments on the motion? Do pass. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the Fourth Amendment acknowledges our right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure, and the Constitution provides us protection that no person should be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And this bill removes what I consider to be, in a way, an unconstitutional remedy. I'm really grateful to hear that the GFMP has rightfully not exercised what would be the right under this statute. So I'm grateful to the governor and the lieutenant governor's longstanding commitment to upholding the constitutional liberties of the people of the state of South Dakota through this bill and other bills like this, and I would encourage your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Further comments on the do pass motion, House Bill 1111? Seeing none, I will take one comment. I think this is a great move. It's really that simple. So with that, what we have before us is a do-pass motion, House Bill 1111. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
Weesey.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
13 ayes, 0 nays.
Motion carries. We will have Representative Gosch carry this to the floor. Very good. Okay, with that, we'll move now to House Bill 1104. Modifies certain duties of the Secretary of Tribal Relations and establish an advisory council. Open for proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sean Bordeaux, District 26A. He honey wash day. Good morning. You know, thinking about the role of the job of Secretary of Tribal Relations, I had to stop and ask my son if he understands his role in life. Pretty heavy discussion with an 11-year-old, but important to our discussion here today as we look at relations in the state. I told him of the efforts in the past, from extermination policies, which are evident now through records, and how we deal with the current state relations here and the situation we're presented with today. Even now as I write this, I sense a little bit of uncomfort in the room. due to the nature of the discussion, which can be difficult to move through as we decipher policy and get to the crux of the intent of the bill, which is to improve relationships with our native people across the state, using our Department of Tribal Relations as the one and only means of communication and relations with the nine sovereign nations residing within South Dakota's borders. One has to be highly effective at communications in order to achieve such a tall order as to satisfy not only the nine tribes' concerns, but the other natives living in the state, across our urban centers, and frankly, everywhere else we choose to live. As chairman of the State Tribal Relations Committee, the committee met nine times in the last 14 months, twice telephonically, with a good number of tribal chairmen and other tribal officials on the calls. Senator Russell, who's no longer in the body, twice asked the secretary to attend a meeting and report to the group. After he refused, after he previously agreed to do so. This is hard to comprehend, as the good senator made calls to the second floor to make sure someone was adhering to the committee's request. He asked again prior to that in November and was also ignored then too. So as a former tribal council member from the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, I wonder what respect we have here for our own institution of government. As is evident today, the good secretary doesn't seem to be in the room as we're talking about his responsibilities and his efforts, or lack thereof. So with the bill here, as we're talking
about... Mr. Chair, would you hang on?
I'd like to point of order. The secretary's not involved in this bill.
His job is. This is about the Secretary of Tribal Relations duties. We're adding duties.
This is about appointing a committee.
This is adding duties
to
him.
That's enough.
Okay, he has
Carry
a report
on with
to
bill.
Do.
Carry on with the bill.
Okay, so
Thank you. The
bill adds a report, an annual report to his duties. That hasn't been done before. Unless maybe the good representative can correct me, as he did several times now. So it's a real simple effort here to try to get some transparency, some open government, some honesty, as the pillars of government that our good governor had stated 2 years ago when she first took over. So I've seen nothing but chaos from this department, and it's really frustrating. I'm very pleased with some of the things that we've done here in this government. And it's a little frustrating when we're trying to figure out how to have relationships improve, and we have to add job duties such as creating an advisory committee, which is also a new thing that we're doing here. So we're trying to basically add layers of effort here so that we can improve the dismal relations that have existed over the last year, from checkpoints to lawsuits to all the news and across the country putting South Dakota on blast. So we want to make it better, Mr. Chair, with all due respect. And I do appreciate your leadership, because we've kind of come through a rocky road in the past. And you've shown some good leadership and some good qualities of being basically good people skills. And that's what we are asking for of this committee. So we've had other responsibilities, like the governor moved another department on the responsibility of the secretary. That was battled out in another committee. And so today, here again, we're saying basically we have some recommendations that would improve the relationships that exist between the nine tribes that are so important, that occupy as much as 30-some counties or portions thereof. Almost half of the state has to do with some of this issue here of state-tribal relations. So, you know, as a member of the tribe, we've really tried to do our best. We even honored our governor by giving her an honorary doctorate from the institution where I work at, St. Agaleska University, back in 2014. So we've done our best to put our best foot forward and try to represent, you know, good efforts, good intentions. And as I stated before, we've heard that there's a effort on the other side to improve relations. So that's all this bill does, basically, is create some open, honest government and transparency so that our good secretary can be here with the tribes and we can have a better relationship working forward. So the bill basically adds that report. It basically requires that he or she attend all duly called meetings. And it's pretty simple other than that. So we look forward to improving what we know has been a hostile environment sometimes for no reason. We're all better people than to allow our governments to come to this this failure in communication. So I ask that you consider the good efforts of the many tribes who attended the 9 meetings that we held and made recommendations on how to improve relations. So I applaud them. I applaud their efforts. And I ask you consider this bill here. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bordeaux. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1104. Doesn't matter, whichever one you'd like.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ross Garlick Bell. I'm the registered advocate for the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, Yankton Sioux Tribe, Ogallala Sioux Tribe, and now the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. We rise in support of any bill that facilitates more communication between the state and the tribal governments, and we believe 1104 does that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1104. Seeing none, we move to opponent testimony for House Bill 1104. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee questions. Representative Jensen.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for Representative Bordeaux, the sponsor. And I probably will have a follow-up. I just want to clarify one thing. You said in the last year there have been 9 meetings already of the 9 tribes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you for the question, Representative. That was 9 meetings of the State Tribal Relations Committee to which we invited and put time on the agenda to allow the tribes to interface with the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Just a follow-up. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, a new question. Who will pay for, will this be a reimbursed by the state or through tribal relations, or will the tribes pay for it? And I hate to do this, but I'm wondering, is there a fiscal note that we need to ask for?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Representative. I try not to have any fiscal note or responsibility to add, I think, extra costs here. I think all this can be done internally. And I think if the chair were just to host these quarterly meetings, the tribes would be willing to pay the per diem to send somebody up here to inform us on what their wishes or concerns or issues were. Thank you for the question.
Further questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Garlick Bell. Morning, sir.
Morning.
Just wondering if you are aware of any other statute that compels an individual to attend a meeting of a committee like this statute tries to do.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, member, reviewing the entire state code to look for how every agency and every committee operates, I would not be able to answer that question fairly. So I do know that you do have, committees where you do require the agencies to come for oversight and you have them come to talk about their budgets. But again, I can't state of what state law states on that.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And if the secretary failed to attend if this law were passed, what would the penalty be?
As I read the statute, there is no penalty in there for not attending. It just says that they do attend.
Thank you.
Representative Hansen, anything further? Any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, we will close public testimony, move on to committee discussion and or action. Mr. Chair. Representative Lestmeister.
I move to pass.
Motion by Representative Lestmeister, second by Representative Smith. Comments on your motion?
Well, you know, I think this is more of an ask, and they've asked, but it hasn't come to light. You know, the good representative asked a question about requirements, and we do require other agencies to come before, whether it's appropriate or this committee, ag committees, and give reports and be held accountable to a certain point. As far as penalties, I don't think there has to be a penalty in this. I don't think we impose any penalties on the other secretaries or cabinet members to, if they don't show up to a committee hearing, do it. This is something that they've been asking for. I was on the Tribe Relations Committee a few years back. At that time, that secretary did come to our meetings openly. So I know it's been a frustrating instance between these entities at this time. Maybe this is one way to get them all together in a room, have them sit down and get something worked out. And going forward, the new members, whoever that would be, on the as far as the secretary and stuff, would know they're going to be required to do this and be more open to doing it. So with that, I urge your passage.
Further comments on the do pass motion? Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand what we're trying to do here, but I have a hard time with legislating cooperation. It would be, I think, to the entire state's advantage, with every citizen or every resident of the state, if we could do this in a cooperative manner without having to force it by law. So I guess I'll be opposed based on that only.
Representative Gosch.
Substitute motion.
State your motion.
41st state.
Second.
Motion by Representative Gosch, second by Representative Beal, to move House Bill 1104 to the 41st state. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the previous speaker basically mentioned the problems with this statute, as we are forcefully requiring an individual by law to be in a location and to do a certain act. We have a state tribal relations committee that can easily put these meetings together and do everything that it's saying in here. They have the full authority. That's why we have the committee. So as legislators, I'd say we should just do this and not force somebody else to if this is something we want. Furthermore, we're leaders in our own communities. Let's do it ourselves. I've had many conversations with chairman and with the secretary. I've never not had him return a phone call when I didn't need it. So it's been a great relationship so far. I would be willing to bet that if you were to give him a call, Secretary Flute a call, and ask for this, he'd be willing to set something up himself without a law. So with that, I'd move 41st day.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
With all due respect to the previous speaker, that has not happened. That is exactly why we've gotten to this point that we have this statute before us. There have been requests made and requests made and requests made, and it hasn't happened. We want a functional government. We want people that will sit down in a room and agree to disagree about things, but have the conversation. And it hasn't happened. And so the frustration level escalates. And that's exactly why this piece of legislation was brought, because the committee tried. The committee tried and tried and tried, and it didn't happen. So please understand where we're at and why we're there. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, Representative Lestmeister?
And I'll just echo the previous speaker's comments. They formally sent letters, even, to the secretary. They made phone calls. They went through his secretary and emails, and this was formally done, and he did not come to the meetings. So, yes, this has been asked. This has been gone through that process, and exactly why we're back here today, so with this bill. So I urge you to defeat this motion.
Representative Smith?
I'd also like to add that while it appears in this committee to be a partisan issue, as only the two of us down here are commenting on this and bringing light, the requests were not made by Democrats. I want you to know on that committee. Those were made by Republicans on the committee. It was not a partisan request. So I want you to know that this is not a partisan issue.
Further comments on the motion before us moving House Bill 1104 to the 31st day? Seeing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Chafee.
Is that, say my name?
Chafee.
Aye.
Goodwin.
If you said Goodwin, it's aye.
Turn my volume up. Sorry. Goodwin. Gosch.
Gosch votes aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
No.
Reimer.
Aye.
Smith.
No.
Weesey.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
We have 11 ayes, 2 nays.
Motion carries. Yeah, we have an introduction of a bill today as well. Let's see here. Request for introduction of a bill, an act to increase the pay of certain constitutional officers on behalf of the Committee on State Affairs. So we'd have a motion to introduce that bill from the committee.
So moved.
It is... The bill is for an act to increase the pay of certain constitutional officers. This was on behalf of the, coming from the Commissioner of School and Public Lands and for some of those other constitutional officers. So just asking that we reintroduce it on behalf of the committee. I didn't have a chance to talk to you. I apologize for that. But this is what that bill is. So any other questions on that? Seeing none, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. It is so introduced. With that, we are through our agenda for today. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
A motion by Representative Goodwin, second by Representative Beal. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. We're adjourned. Aye.